If you like weird history, true crime, haunted and paranormal, then pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Ghost Town wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a video component to our favorite Ghost Town episodes at youtube.com/Jason Horton. Episodes like The Los Feliz Murder House, The Toxic Lady, The Black Dahlia, Janis Joplin's Hotel Room, The Haunted Roosevelt Hotel, and more. Just go to youtube.com/Jason Horton. That's youtube.com/JasonHorton. And while you're there, please subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Thank you. It's Friends Without Benefits. It's the Friends Without Benefits podcast. My name is Jason Horton. Welcome to the show. Today I have a chat with Sonny Peabody. He is a director, a producer, a comedian, and a friend. I put friend last, though, because producer, director, comedian is more important than friend. So why do I sound like this? Do you even notice? The jet lag. And it's been 6 days, I'll say 6 days. I have not caught up. I've been waking up anywhere between like 4 and maybe 6:30 a.m. So even today I got up at like about 6:30, 6 or 6:30 a.m., which has been pretty good because I think what happened is the daylight saving time, whatever. I voted against it to get rid of it in California because I voted. Hopefully everyone voted as well, but that on top of the jet lag, I guess, I don't know. I'm in this loop and I can't get out of it. So I just feel like really run down because I hit the gym again after taking, you know, 2+ weeks off and, I'm a beast in the gym, just an animal. And I only do 110% when I'm there. And I obviously just show up and kind of hope for the best. But I think I've been trying to get back in a normal routine. And I haven't really paced it as much, maybe like the first day. So I'm feeling pretty rough. My voice, I mean, I know you're like, oh, you normally sound so like cool. But now I must sound even more cool and dangerous because I feel like my voice is more hoarse. I still managed to do a couple of open mics this week to kind of get back into that. Probably touching those microphones after other people have and have their mouth near the microphone, probably it wasn't helpful for them and it was not helpful for me. I always think about that after I'm done and I'm like, I don't know. Every comedian is probably sick all the time because of that. My guest is Sonny Peabody. I've known him since we did improv comedy together at Iowa West. We've produced many a YouTube video. You can probably find some on youtube.com/Jason Horton. They're the ones with a lot of views, and usually the thumbnail is a bit clickbaity, I guess, but it's from the video. We produced a lot of things. We used to work together. We produced a show for the Game Show Network's YouTube channel and many other things. I don't think we even get into the Game Show Network, like just for a second that we worked together, but we worked together, not really together, we worked at this place called Defy Media, and I don't know if you keep up with media or tech companies in the trades. Defy Media is shutting down. The story is I was laid off from Defy Media well over a year ago. In fact, when I got laid off, it was the first time I tried doing stand-up comedy. I wanted to make it like that moment, so if I ever told the story, it'd be like, this was a pivotal moment. It really wasn't, but I just wanted to kind of make that happen, just in case I ever found any success. You know, I want those bases covered, and Sonny also worked there. He was a producer for a channel called Smosh, and Smosh is a powerhouse of a brand and a channel, and you know, brings in a lot of views. And then he got laid off. You know, later on, I don't know the timeline, but after I did, and what I read was that people, because I know people, some people that work there still, and they said, oh, we're going to shut down business on January 2nd. giving people some time, but you know, typical kind of corporate, whatever you want to call it, scumbaggery. I don't know. I really don't know the story, but that's kind of how I feel about certain corporate entities. Not that I'm against corporations. I'm not like that. It's like, make money. That's cool. Do whatever. But I feel like certain companies, you know, really take advantage of situations more than they have to. And I understand you have to a little bit because it's, you know, a company's job to make as much money and spend the least. And it's people's job to make as much money and maybe do the least amount of work. I don't know. Or we find a happy medium. But then by the end of the, you know, so that maybe went out in the morning. But at the end of the day, it's like everyone out, I guess. I don't know what the timeline was of that. But basically people were just like, you're told to hit the bricks. And so that, you know, that's the end of that. And I don't know what happens past there, but we discussed that. But something I've never talked about, really. I don't think I've made it public online, or I've talked about it really in a podcast. In fact, I've had people on my podcast, Lauren Powell. She was one of the people that I've worked with before, but worked at Defy Media. But I didn't want to bring up that I worked there because it was one of those things where I went through a thing where I was like, you know what, I'm going to go back to the 9-to-5 job thing and doing something that I'm interested in. And I got a job at Defy as a channel manager. I was a manager of a YouTube channel, one of their YouTube channels. And I find that very interesting because I'm into analytics. I always have been. And the back end of a really big YouTube channel, or there's a couple of them that I worked on. And then I would do various like technical things. And I enjoyed doing that. But with that comes you giving up, well, at least you think you have to give up your creativity. And during that time, I stopped doing the show. So, you know, the show is 3-ish years old, but I've only been doing it for 2. So it really took a hit, and it really took me a while to kind of bring it back to where it was. Can it ever go back to where it was? It doesn't matter. This is where it is right now. I stopped doing improv comedy that I used to do a lot, auditioning. Most things I just stopped doing. I got married, which was great. But other than that, it was a really, really tough time. It was a really, you know, really long commutes, too much time to think. In fact, at that time, I had never listened to Marc Maron's WTF podcast. He's going to get a huge bump in listeners from this for this free plug. But I've only been familiar with him from like kind of the UCB theater and like in the comedy world. And this is over a year ago. This is definitely at least a year and a half ago. I had never listened to his podcast, but I was familiar with him, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna listen to the Bruce Springsteen one. And then, because I love Bruce Springsteen. And then from there I was like, well, I gotta listen to the Barack Obama one. And then I would only listen to the interview, then I would slowly kind of work back, and I was like, let me hear what he has to say. Because I kind of like that he's from New Jersey, and so am I, and he's a little bit older. And he's older than I am. But he's also somebody who got a really great second act. He really got he had a great resurgence or whatever it is, even though it sounds like he was always had somewhat level of success. And I went to his book signing and his kind of Q&A thing, which was really cool. But it was like during that time that like it really helped me, because I had a lot of long commutes. I was dealing with a lot of what a lot of people deal with, anxiety, depression, because, you know, when you're broke, it sucks. But then when you're not broke, but then these things of like, you know, working at a job, even if you like the work, you still have to deal with other people. And then those people are dealing with their stuff. It's not really anybody's fault. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, people can be cooler. I'm sure there were some times that I could have been cooler, but I mostly just kind of yes, no. And I just couldn't, I don't know, just couldn't, it was just hard to deal with the fact that like, oh, I thought I fixed the problem is still there, right? When you say, well, if this just works out, I will then be happy. And then the thing happens, and you still feel the exact same way. So that's where I was for a lot of that. But I did what I had to do to take responsibility, you know, get my head right during that time, which was good. It kind of forced me to do that, something I should have done a long time ago. Because you're conditioned sometimes to be like, buck up, pull up by your bootstraps. And like sometimes, yes, that is sometimes the answer. But I think I think it's okay to be like, you know what, if you, you know, if you need help, get help. And I think I'm a little bit older, so things like therapy were not thrown around very much because it's, I don't know, it's embarrassing or you don't want to admit, you just like, you know, just buck up. And sometimes you just, bucking up is not going to do it. So that's that. But then I got laid off from that job, and then things have been, I mean, you know, there's ups and downs, but things have definitely been better. But, you know, we kind of go over that a little bit. Was that too long? Was that too much? I did a video for Comedy Central, produced and created and written by the Clunes, who are amazing. If you're not familiar with them, find them. I've worked with them for years. They're some of the best out there. They should have their own show. I don't know why they don't, but they produce a series for Comedy Central called Mini Mox. And we did this one called In-Flight Entertainment. And I play a stand-up comedian, which is, you know, about as close as I'm going to get to stand-up on Comedy Central, which is great. And so I was a little bit worried. You have to watch the video to find out. I was a little bit worried about the content of what I say. And the video goes up, and I guess everything was fine. And then the video gets pulled, and I was like, oh, no, I know they pulled it because of me, even though I'm sure it went through some, like, checks and stuff like that, and somebody had to, you know, okay it, but it got, and I was like, I'm the most dangerous comedian out there. Comedy Central can't hold me down, but it was just a typo in the captions. You know what will help you see those captions a whole lot better? Simple Contacts. Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescriptions and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. Instead of heading to the doctor year after year just to renew your prescription for something you wear every day, you can do it on your own time and terms in just a few minutes. This is vision care for the 21st century. Need to renew your prescription? Take the 5-minute Simple Contacts vision test online. And it's like 5 minutes or less. It'll be reviewed by a licensed doctor. You receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contacts. All you need is your current contacts, an internet connection, and 10 feet of space. I even had that. I was like, do I have 10 feet of space? I was like, yeah, I do. Even if you're totally out of contacts, they've got an option for you too. Also, if you have an unexpired prescription and need more contacts, just upload a photo of it or your doctor's information and order your lenses. They do all the hard work for you and take care of verifying and confirming your prescription. There's a million things demanding your time. Contact lenses shouldn't be one of them. Simple Contacts let your new prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in minutes. Your couch, yes. In the office, sure. The doctor office is now wherever you are. The doctor office. I call it the doctor office. That's just something that I do. The Simple Contacts vision test is self-guided and takes less than 5 minutes. Think how much time you'll save compared to making an appointment, getting to the eye doctor, taking time off. Just the idea of getting in my car and sitting in any kind of traffic or finding a place to park is, I'd rather just not do it. I'd rather just give up and not do it. But Simple Contacts solves that problem. The reviews speak for themselves. Simple Contacts has been rated 5 stars over 5,000 times on the App Store. You can text with a support team and always get to speak with the person. No automated robot systems. They have texted me and I have talked to them. And it wasn't intrusive. It was wonderful. I felt better about it that I'm actually talking to a person. That is, I guess I'm a person. Simple Contacts only tests that your current prescription still helps you see 20/20, and they renew that prescription. They don't write a completely new prescription or examine eye health. To get $20 off your contacts, go to simplecontacts.com/friends20. To get $20 off your contacts, go to simplecontacts.com/friends20 or just enter friends20 in the promo code. All right, let's get into my conversation with Sonny Peabody. I remember, like, when I would come over, not where we are right now, but your other place, which you could see in many a YouTube video.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we'd go over there and be like, all right, so, like, we're two guys and we don't know how to act in front of women. And then a girl shows up and then we turn into, like, I don't know, we turn into each other. Like, that's the kind of video.
That was the plot of pretty much every video that you shot there.
Yeah.
We did the one was, like, 25... You know,
worst pickup lines
at a party or something. Yeah.
Do you ever think back and think like, wow, we really made some videos?
I mean, we did. I think we were just having fun.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like putting out silly ideas.
We were like the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is because, you know, we also had a lot of things where it was a lot of men and women dynamic, you know, and like the awkwardness of that. which I kind of look back now and I'm like, you know, I was like, would that play today? You know what I mean?
I
like,
mean, I think that's a lot has changed since I got into YouTube and some different people that I've worked with on their channels. And a lot of it was very like misogynistic, very sexist. I mean, I think your stuff was like that we did together was like very light, kind of friendly. But like I was involved in some projects that like the stuff was like a little like even then, definitely I mean, I think even then I was a little like, I can't show this to my mom.
Yeah.
But it's paying me paying the bills. Yeah. You know? But I think definitely now, and I'm glad, like I don't want to do that kind of thing. No. I don't want to be involved.
People ask me like, they're like, oh, why don't you like do that anymore? And like, one, it's like, I don't feel like it's, I have anything to say. If I had something to say and I had something, I really thought it was funny and it wasn't just about some awkward, like sexual tension, I would do it. But if I don't, I'm not going to just force out things that just because maybe, and then really honestly, like YouTube changed so much, people weren't even really interested in that.
Kind of stuff. I mean, well, remember the Man Show? I mean, we had the Man Show and like, that was, you know, I mean, like, I'm glad that that kind of, it felt gross. It felt
well, because especially when it wasn't like, it was like, oh, it's like there doesn't seem to be any, literally any joke,
right? Yeah, you know, it was just like, it was playing to the lowest common denominator. You know, like we've done improv together, it's like, you know, use the height of your intelligence,
right?
And so, it is good to see, you know, that there is things, you know, obviously, there's a lot of dumb crap out there too, but there's, you know, playing to the height of your intelligence, I think, is gonna get you better.
Yeah, I'm not like, it's like, even say, like, big on like censorship, you know what I mean? Like what I'm telling people what to do or not to do, that's not for me. But I don't know, I think, well, of course, just like getting older, like we're both 24.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm pushing like 25.
I know, man. Ooh. Woo. Well, I still got 6 more months, so I'm good.
Yeah.
So
finally, my insurance is going to go down for my car.
Yeah. You can rent a car now, which is good. Thank you. Which is good. Phew. But you know, you get older and then you just kind of like shift things. But we would go to your house. And then we'd be shooting, and then your wife Freedia would come home, and 10 times out of 10 there would be a girl or many girls in like a bikini.
She was very like she was super supportive cool. and
she
like,
was
cool.
always, but it was so like, funny.
One time, I think we were filming a scene, and it was just being stupid. Like it was girls pillow fighting. and
that was at your
another place. Yeah. Wow, we've dirtied a lot of places up. No, but like she came home after we shot this thing, and she found lipstick on her pillow, and I was like, no, I wasn't doing anything weird, you know.
Watch the tape.
Yeah, no, but we were shooting like a pillow fight. I think it was like Jess and another girl,
Natalia.
And it was just like a stupid thing.
It was a joke, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a joke, dream sequence or something. And she was like, why is there lipstick on my pillow? And I had to explain to her. I was like, it's a Jason Horton production. but she was really cool. But you're right. Like, as I'm older and I have a son now, I'm like, what kind of message do I want to send to my son? Like, what my son's going to be? And like, you know, I hear the word a lot now, integrity, you know, like how I'm going to be passing like integrity onto my kid. And I want him to be someone who is respectful, you know, but still also have a good sense of humor, you know, like be able to laugh at things, but just not at the expense of people. And I'm glad to see that the direction that things are going in the world.
Yeah. For some things, I don't like the way they're going at all.
but you know.
Now, you don't have to answer this. If you had one video the first video that you like either produced or was in on YouTube to your son that was like, hey, listen, you want to watch something? You know this thing called YouTube? And it's like, Dad, you're from Dinosaur.
we're like, watching holograms.
Yeah. What would be the first video you'd want to show him?
The first video
to be like, and him not think you're a complete tool. Or one video that you'd be like, oh, I think this is something that I wouldn't mind him seeing.
I did a funny thing with Smosh when I was there, and they did, it was for Disney, for Beauty and the Beast when it came out, and we gave the cast hot peppers. And they did a hot pepper karaoke version Be Our Guest.
Yeah.
And so like that was, you know, funny. The comedy comes from, you know, the pain they're in while they're trying to do this thing. And we had a really great production. We shot in a castle here in Los Angeles. There's if you look up the Hollywood Castle, it's the only.
That's not the Greystone Manor, right? It's different, right?
That might be different. Yeah. It's up in the Hollywood Hills, okay. But you go
Google. Can you just rent it or something like
that? Yeah, you can like rent it out, and it's weirdly it's owned by this like former reality star and his wife who are on this reality show. I don't remember the show, but like so that was weird too. You know, you're in the, it's sort of like I gotta look surreal. That up. You're in the house with these reality stars, and it's crazy. The guy built it in the 60s, and it still looks like it was from the 60s. But anyway,
might be something for a ghost town.
Yeah. There you go. Check it out for the podcast. But yeah, I mean that was a fun one. I mean, I think like when I am joking with my son, I like to obviously like physical humor kills with kids. Yeah. You know, so running into the wall or pretending I'm slamming my fingers in the door or something. Yeah. You know, he like dies at that, and anything at my expense of of pain, I'll do for my son.
Now. What's one that you would not want him to see? Or would that be all the rest? Would that be the rest?
No, I mean, I think like, you know, and again, at the time, this was funny, but there was one I did, I worked on, I mean, I shot, I think, and edited, but it was called Twilight for Guys. And it was, I mean, were you a cameo in that at all?
No, but I remember
some different like male comedians. I mean, the setup was really funny. It was like, what if Twilight was made for guys, you know, and so the videos featured a lot of like, you know, hot girls in very little clothing, and right. They were, you know,
doing scenes from Twilight.
But here's the thing, we
do know that Twilight is for everybody.
Twilight is
for everybody.
I have my Twilight tattoo here right on my back.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, I mean, that I think the premise again was really funny. Mm. The idea that. Guys are going to see this movie and they love Twilight and like this is what would get them to love it. Really just kind of making a commentary on, you know, how crappy guys are sometimes, you know. There was one scene where a guy brought his girlfriend to that version of the movie and she was just like appalled by it. But the guy, like, he didn't even get it, you know. And so I think even though it was probably using those things like to be very clickbaity, it was still making a commentary on, you know, guys are... Sure. Trash sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So maybe you don't want him to see that.
I probably wouldn't want him to see that one. Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, there's really nothing that I feel like I would go down the road, you know, where I would want it taken down or something.
Right, yeah, nothing.
I wouldn't want to do it. I mean, as a creative person, you know, you have your limits, or you don't.
You have some wins, you have some losses.
I mean,
sometimes you have more losses than wins.
Sometimes you're making a 9/11 joke on a
Comedy Central thing?
Comedy Central thing.
You are not? Okay, so...
That was really funny, though.
My buddies, the Clunes, they're amazing. They do these things for Comedy Central called mini-mocks, so these little videos. Yeah. And I played a stand-up comedian on a plane doing live entertainment. And they wrote that. And I asked them, I was like, is this 9/11 joke okay? Because I do stand-up comedy now. I don't make 9/11 jokes just because I don't have a hot take on it. And that's just my job.
It's not your thing.
I'm not mean. Except to myself.
And I think that's the point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like I put anything out there that's mean.
Mean, yeah.
And, I mean, that's not even too
sure,
mean.
Sure, yeah. But that video, so it went up, and I was like, oh, they kept everything. Yeah. And I referenced Dane Cook. I did some improv there, too, so I referenced Dane Cook. And then the video got taken down, and I was like, it's got to be for that 9/11 joke.
Yeah.
Then I was like, no, it's because I said that Dane Cook makes that joke all the time, and everyone else thinks it's cool. And I'm wondering, I was like, oh, my God, does people see that? And get mad, or is the
you'll never work in this town again, Jason. Like, Dane Cook's putting you down.
I like Dane Cook. I mean, I have no problem with him. He's fine. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know, man. It's not my video. But it turned out that there was just a typo in the thing.
Okay.
But I was positive.
So you're here where there's an hour where you were out of communication with everybody.
Yeah.
You're just like huddled up in your home, like, what am I gonna do? This is the end for me.
One thing, it was this kind of like, oh man, I really want that video to be up because it's like I'm trying to make it as a stand-up comedian. You know, it's close as I'll get to Comedy Central doing stand-up, so I wanted it to be out there. But I was like, oh man, maybe I'll let people know how edgy I am. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm
too hot for TV.
You went over the edge.
Nope, we spelled the governor wrong or whatever it was. That's all it was. And I was like, oh, all right, put that one up there.
Oh, that's funny.
But
we're saying, mean-spirited stuff. I don't ever want to put that out there.
Well, I feel like we were always very cautious. Like when we were filming, I feel like we were always very kind of cautious of what was going on. And I think we always kind of like made sure everything was cool, everyone was cool.
Yeah. And like everybody was in on the joke too. Yeah. It was like, you know, even the people like the one with the pickup lines for girls, like we were really like ripping on the girls, but like they were in on the joke.
Yeah.
They knew it was funny. It's about these dumb guys. Yeah. You know, it's really just
these showing dumb, hot 24-year-old guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, at that time, we were 22.
Babies. Ooh, yeah. I can't blame
us. Fresh out of college. You know, like, we're just experiencing the real world for the first time.
So you're well, here's what I think I know. You're from Arizona.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, this pretty good, right?
Is a quiz?
I don't know.
You aced it so far. So far, yeah, from Arizona.
You're from Arizona.
It's a red state. Yikes.
Because your name is Sunny, right? Your sister's name is Heaven.
Right, Heaven. I got another sister, too.
His name is?
Crystal Rain.
Crystal Rain.
Right.
Okay. I think I knew that because I've seen that on Facebook.
Yeah.
Your son's name is Everest.
Everest. Yeah, Everest Snow. My name's Sunny Everest, Snow.
Sunny Snow.
Everest Snow.
Okay.
Where are we going?
And it's Arizona. Now, is it like dream catchers and crystals?
I mean, I'm sure there's some of that in some place. I think you're maybe like Sedona, Arizona, which is like more north of that, where there's like the kind of spiritual energy. I mean, Tucson.
But were you born in a Walmart?
Yes, I was born on the floor of a Walmart. Delivered by the guy that comes at the front door.
Listen, that's part of the job.
The old man.
Yeah.
From Arizona. I mean, my parents... I kind of always use the line that my parents were hippies, you know, but in fact they were, you know, that's just the easiest thing when people are like, oh, really? You have that funny name? Like, were your parents hippies? I'm just like, sure. You know, but my parents were pretty conservative people. It just happened that my dad, his name was Raymond Snow, and he hated the name Raymond. Oh. So he took Snow.
Raymond Snow's kind of a cool name, though.
No, well, yeah, now it is.
Yeah.
Back then in the 70s. Yeah, man, you know, look out. You don't have that name. Anyway, but he didn't like that name, so he wanted to put his first name as Snow, which is like a middle family name.
Yeah.
And so it just like caught on, and then that became like a thing for my parents, and they're like, let's give all of our kids weather names. And so I became Sunny Snow, and Heaven, and Crystal Rain. And so, yeah, then, you know. Just continuing the tradition.
I mean, really, like, when people talk about how celebrities name their children, I mean, your parents are, like, way ahead of the curve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were doing this back in the day. I mean, I don't know. I think it just kind of was, like, a thing that happened. I always wanted, like, my name to be John or James or something, like, to fit in with the other kids. Because you do stand out when you're like that. And
you'd have to be, like, living in, like, you know, Venice Beach for to kind of, in, like, at that time.
Yeah,
be, like,
totally. Totally. But, that's...
And now, do you, I mean, like, because your parents, you know what I mean? I have, my dad is actually super liberal. Yeah. My mom is, like, moderate, I guess. But are your parents, do you butt heads with your parents on things? Are they pretty cool? Or
no, I mean, and full exposure. Like, I was raised in a very Christian, conservative home. And... You know, I think growing up, I was always more like concerned that they were going to have like judgments of me in the things I wanted to do with my life, or like being in California, being in LA, doing the kind of comedy that
we do. When did you come to California?
I mean, I was out here in 2002. Okay. So like it's been just
you're only five, so five. Probably child actor.
Yeah, yeah, no. So I mean, I've been here for a while, and you know, kind of it's not always easy. You know, you think you come here. I actually came and I started at the Groundlings. I took two levels of the Groundlings, and then you know, it was like a wait to get into level three, and then that's when I went into Improv Olympic, and I met you there. But you know, it wasn't like success by, you know, it doesn't always happen that way. You think like you're gonna go to LA and, you know, you're gonna get an agent.
Because you're there, it'll happen.
Because you're there, yeah, right. But a lot of people, you know, you move here and then you end up doing other jobs and things to, like, get yourself into being able to just, like, afford, you know, being on a backstage team at one of these improv theaters, you know. But it's I love those times.
I'll look back, especially, you know, we mentioned Improv Olympic or IO. We spent many years.
Yeah.
A ridiculous amount of years.
Yeah.
And I'll look and I'll, you know, maybe I'm friends with people on Facebook and I'm like, oh, what? And I'll look and I'm like, oh, they live in Texas now.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought that person was going to be a movie star. Like, I'm always I think everyone's great. Like, I think there's no shortage of, like, really great people. You know, there's just not enough, or it's time and place or whatever it is. And then when I see that they move, I don't listen to them. I'm sure they found something cool or it's all relative. But then I'm like, I didn't even know you left. And it's just like, people just leave.
Yeah. And you think like, am I an idiot for sticking around here? Like still trying to like pursue this dream or whatever.
Do you ever think that?
You know, I mean, I think like as I've had success and failures and like employment here, you know, I mean, I've got to do some really great things on YouTube and, you know, being involved with some, you know, like,
I mean, you've made, I mean, you've made things that in numbers and volume go past what a lot of people, you know, people make a lot of things. No one sees them, you know?
Yeah.
You,
no, it's
you made
true.
A lot of things people saw.
It's nice to be a part of that and be a creator in that space. And, but, yeah, you know, I mean, it's hard. There's times where you're like, there's times where I've been like, am I going to sign up for Uber just to help pay the mortgage? Like, do I need that kind of a job or go do retail again, which I did for 7 years, when I first moved here.
Was that the Apple store?
I was working at the Apple store. Yeah. And,
do you have any trade secrets to the Apple store? I know it's times have changed.
just always be nice to the people that work there.
Yeah.
Kindness is what gets you places. I mean, if you're going to be a jerk.
Because I imagine a lot of people walk in there and it's like, well, because it's maybe because it's Los Angeles. I don't know. I don't think people are generally rude, but I think you walk into and people are frustrated and they go in there because my thing doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, and it's for some reason, like you personify everything that's wrong with the company. And you're like, you're the focus of all their blame. Like you become that person that they just want, they blame. I've had people throw iPods or iPhones down on the ground. Like one guy threw it. There's a video of it. I'm jumping out of the video because it surprised me so much. But he slams his phone down because I had to make an appointment for him. You know, and I don't like to wait either, but it's just like the process. I'm not trying to be, I was never trying to be a jerk to anybody.
Yeah, you don't make more money for letting
people wait. No, you know, so, but I've had people do that. I remember a guy, like one of the first few weeks I was there, he couldn't get his keyboard repaired and I was sitting next to this like little old lady, like helping her out. And she's, you know, frail lady. And this guy just like slams his keyboard down. All the keys pop off and, you know, everybody's just like shocked in the thing. The old lady's like, you know, calm down, young man. And he starts yelling at her. And, you know, so I was like getting up to defend this lady. Anyway, it's just, you know, it's a probably a $40 keyboard. Is it worth it to be, you know, that upset?
Yeah, I guess maybe people feel just they're frustrated, but they also feel entitled.
Yeah,
because it's an open store, maybe because there's and everyone's just kind of walking. I don't know what I don't really go into Apple stores very often, so but I pass by them and I look inside and I'm like,
there's a lot of anger in there.
Yeah, I was like people looking around, kind of like,
what's no, I mean, I get it. You know, you're frustrated, you're told something's gonna work and it doesn't, but you know, at the same time, people that are in customer service or any job or anything, like, you don't know what's going on in their day. You don't know what's going on in someone's life. Like, always be kind. I just think, I feel like that, especially in this last year too, you know, like, you don't know what's going on in people's lives. There's like people with serious depression and serious, like, you know, just life things.
Yeah.
And
maybe you're just having a day.
They're just having a day. You walk in like that and maybe they're having a day too, you know? And like, I think you just want to try to dispel that, but, yeah, you know, you want to just be kind to everybody.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
To talk openly this last year at a job I was at, there was a girl who I worked with pretty closely, like only for a couple of months, and went into work one day and found out that she had taken her life like that night before. And so, like, dealing with that this last year has been kind of a crazy thing, you know, and realizing, like...
Because you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Like, and we had no idea. Like, she never showed signs of that. You know, we were chatting the day before. There was, like, a going-away party for another girl that we were talking about. And, you know, whatever was in her life, you know, that affected her, she felt like she needed to end it. And, you know, it's just, like, Anyway, yeah. My point is, you never know what's going on with somebody. Always just be kind and try to be somebody that's there for anybody whenever you can.
So you, when you came here, were you, what did you, I ask a lot, you know, on the show, I ask a lot of people that have, what did you think was going to happen? You know what I mean? And then you got here and then what happened?
What did I think? I mean, I kind of had come in with the idea that I was going to go to Groundlings. I mean, I had this sort of like dream of being, you know, I grew up with, like Mad TV and, you know, SNL and the other shows and being like, I want to be on that show or I want to be in comedy that way. And, you know, I'd done theater in college and I had done all that thing and traveled around with a troupe that we did improv. And so just really loved the improv live performance type thing, characters. And I thought I was going to come here and do that. And, you know, audition for those things, was in a audition with Olivia Munn for Groundlings. She didn't get in. Look at where she's at now.
Loser. She's not even on this. She's never even been on this.
She
podcast.
Hasn't been on this.
I
podcast.
Never asked her.
Don't have her on here. She didn't make it into Groundlings.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, you know, you see those people. It's like there's people that she got rejected from there, went on to have great success. You know, and then from that, you know, I've had to worked at Apple for a long time, but was doing improv. And you know, you always kind of have this hope that like someone's going to come and scout you and find you there. And
at the Apple store.
At the Apple store. And you know, no one ever really does. It doesn't always happen like that. I mean, it really is about, I think, kind of creating your own content. And actually, I had been laid off from Apple. And that's when I had started, you know, like shooting videos and editing videos and like started working with you.
So you, I just said it because, you know, I was, when I always kind of think, I was like, you're so, I felt like when you were there, you knew everything that was going on, how everything worked. And when it came to editing, like it was just like always such, it always looked so crisp and so, the quality was so high.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a, but you know, you had the, you know, had the knowledge and you had the stuff and you knew how to like, you can have the camera, but the end result can be garbage. You know what I mean? If you don't like the sound whatever.
I mean, I did study that in school a little bit. I mean, but back
was it mostly like work, like on the job training in a sense?
Yeah. I mean, really it was. Yeah. It was like, you know, teaching myself, learning myself. I bought a Mac computer. This is before I worked at the Apple store and kind of taught myself editing on Final Cut Pro and, you know, did it that way. And then even shooting, you know, I kind of taught myself, you know, camera. And I think that's what's great about, you know, what's out there with YouTube and the accessibility. Like people can shoot things on their camera, on their phone, on their camera. It's awesome what you can do now. Now, I mean, there has to be a good idea. You know, there has to be something motivating to make something, which, you know, I don't always have the ideas for. I have the technical ability,
And that, so was there a thing, because I first knew you from IO, but just kind of peripherally, I guess, or because you were on a TV, you do the cage match and you guys won
right,
a lot.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And I back then I was like, fuck these guys, man. You know what? But here's the thing.
We'll take them down.
Because I'm not like, it was just kind of like everyone, I was like, so smug. But then I'm like, I'm like that.
Right, right, right.
Because you're not, it's like not a real, because here's the thing. It's like you're doing this thing. You're, you know what I mean? Like, there's just that comes out in one way, shape, or form. But nobody did. Nobody harmed me. Nobody said anything ill of me.
It's like everybody wants to succeed here. Yeah. And they don't want anyone else to succeed more than them.
Right.
You know, or at all. You know what I mean? And I think like there's that weird, because like we're all doing it to each other.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't want to feel that way from that kind of negativity from somebody else. But, you know, it's been great to see the people that have gone places. You know, you do wonder like, what have I done? You know, and I, like, I've had great success in my career.
You've made, as far as making livings, coming here and not necessarily being Mr. 9 to 5, working in a cubicle, I think financially, in a sense, all things considered, like from what I know, you've done well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I've had success and done like.
You also have a lot of skills. Yeah, it's not like you're just like I can only edit or I can only run a camera. Like you could and would it find you need somebody that could do it all. Yeah. And
I think that was definitely out of necessity. Yeah. You know, when you go to a place and feel like, you know, you want to have as many options of getting ahead as possible. So learn how to shoot, learn how to edit, learn how to direct and produce and all of those things. Like have your hands in everything and then, you know, you can get all of the jobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, if somebody's like, can you do any of these things? Is I can do, 95% of them. You're very employable.
Yeah.
And sometimes, if they're like, hey, listen, and if you can do it all and there's like a budget, because how we kind of worked a lot, there'd be a budget.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, in a lot, especially if it was freelance, it'd be a budget and it'd be like, well, how do we split, how do we split this up? And if you're like, well, I can do, the shooting, editing, and sound, you can get a lion's share of the money. Why shouldn't you? You know what I mean? But sometimes you need to bring somebody else in or,
Yeah, you kind of knock out as much as you can. Like, it makes it more valuable for them. They're working with less people and you're making more money.
Did you have, like stars in your eyes? I'm going to be... Because I think, doing improv is a performance.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to book a commercial or be on TV. Did you have that?
Yeah, I mean, and I went out for commercial auditions. Yeah. I mean, I booked a couple like little things. Yeah. One was in England. It never even showed up in the U.S. Yeah. You have that kind of dream of being like, I'm gonna, you see people making success and like they book commercials and then they're that guy that's on TV, as small parts, and then they're the lead, and then they're in movies, and then you kind of have a hope for that, but like life never, it doesn't always give you that. Clear of a path. And that's why I feel like you kind of had to, I've had to hustle or whatever to, keep going. And then after a while, I think I've liked being behind the camera more, producing more and, doing my creative things in that way. And I do love like editing, too. So, but as you get older, one thing I really wish I had thought of when I was, first coming here. So advice to anybody like coming into things is like just to like invest, like to save money and to invest. Like now I feel like I wish I'd done that sooner in life.
Like invest like in a portfolio?
Invest in portfolio or, if I had the money to save to invest in real estate more or whatever the thing might be for you, like investing. But saving and investing and like, because I feel like, there's the fear that I'm at a certain age and I'm going to be working for the rest of my life until I'm dead. You know what I mean? And it's like, there is a lack of financial kind of knowledge and like planning and education for people to know what to do. Like we just were told like work a job and, save your money or do something. But we end up spending it, or we live in these places like above our means or whatever we do. The rent is so high here in LA, it's like, I wish I had just been a little smarter about like saving and managing, like putting my money and investing into things that would,
instead of buying pizza all the time.
Oh, you're always buying pizza,
having
dogs,
a pizza party.
Bites.
Yeah. Having all this pizza.
Yeah. But, and then like now it's finding different ways of like revenue, using assets. Like I have a house and I've been using that like to book Peer Space. People come in and use my house and they like shoot videos here. And
anything famous?
Do you know a little guy named Nick Nolte? No, I don't. No one knows.
Also, how about this? When you rent it out, how about this? Go for a bonus. You get a free actor. His name is Jason Horton.
Mm.
No extra charge.
He just comes in. He'll just come in your scene.
Even if it's a one person thing, he'll be in it. Like he'll be furniture.
I like that.
That might be
every next time I show off the house, let's have you just come out.
Free actor. I was like, yeah.
Here, do a scene, Jason.
Yeah.
Do some scene work. No, but like those kind of things, like using your assets, and it's kind of a cool, like that's the world we live in
now. It's like
now.
A gig economy, is that what they call it? It's like Uber or,
Well, I mean, the fact that
TaskRabbit or
people can do, they can rent out their cars to other people.
Yeah.
You don't have a car, I can rent you my car. I can rent you my house to shoot a thing. And like we live in this world now, which like, it is that kind of accessibility, which was never there before, And so it's great for me because I'm like, okay, this is helping me pay my mortgage. This is helping me, take care
it's
of
like a, it's like a very tiny sublet. Like, of a brief amount of time.
For 12 hours.
Now, have you ever, because I was in Europe for a couple of weeks and went to a lot of I've gone to a lot of Airbnbs abroad, more than even in the U.S., and it's become very sophisticated the way people can, like, elevate their Airbnb. Have you ever thought about doing Airbnb here?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that. Yeah. Like, now trying to plan in investment properties, like, buying a place somewhere in Portland and doing that as an Airbnb, or, you know,
Portland sounds expensive too.
Yeah, Portland. Yeah, it is outside of Portland. Yeah. But you know, like, even here in LA, you know, if we got another place or whatever, or we did decide to, like, move somewhere else, you know, keep this place and use it as Airbnb. I mean, I think there's always just the fear of, you know, what are people going to do in your place? Yeah. And
well, that's why I'll be here, because I come with it.
You come with it. You're the Airbnb guy too.
I come with all of those things. Yeah, it's awesome. I just want.
Do I have to pay you for this?
No, if they order a pizza, I just want a slice.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Pay you with pizza.
Yeah. Listen, and then I can keep an eye on them.
That's great.
And they're like, "How about for two pieces of pizza? We don't say a word." I'm like, "You got it. You just doubled the."
Wait, they're paying you more pizza to not tell me what's going on. Yeah. Oh my gosh!
I think really the first real true gig economy would be prostitution, right? I mean, something that is yours, that you rent out as a service.
Well, isn't it called the oldest profession?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, and I mean
that's a philosophical
right. I mean, and it could be people prostitute themselves in different ways.
Sure.
You know, I mean, like, it doesn't have to be like a sexual thing, but yeah, I guess, you know, that's
I'm saying that's what's next for you. Like, this is what I'm kind of.
Oh, yay. I mean,
I will be there. I will be there. And I'm there.
As long as you're there eating pizza, watching over everything that's going on.
You know, here's the thing. If this was a couple of years ago, we would have made that sketch.
That's true.
We definitely would have made it.
We probably.
There's no way that wouldn't have been made.
Why can't we make it?
I guess we could.
Yeah. I mean, because there's pizza. There's this
house.
You know, there's the two of us. Yeah. We're not, you know, making fun of any, like, women.
No, not at all. I'm not making fun of it. Yeah. Just making fun of ourselves again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. We'll put a pin in that. Listen back. listen to the playback on this. So you met your wife, Freedia.
Yeah. At the Apple Store.
At the Apple Store. I didn't know that. Now, for people who don't know, Freedia is very cool.
Yeah, she's very cool. Obviously, we've talked about how she let us shoot in the house.
No, but I was like, Michelle and I were just talking about her.
Oh, okay.
When I was trying to think, I was like, it's not just, oh yeah, that person's really cool. Like, cool. Like just somebody's like, that person's so fucking cool. She is very cool. And like, style. When I was thinking of somebody, I was like, what's a female I know who has a really good style?
Right.
Freedia is what I came up with.
She's just like, you know, I mean, it has this flawless way of just like, she could just, it's like she could roll out of bed and put on something and it looks amazing. Like, she has this really great just sense of everything. And I you know, I'm like, I'm always like, how did I end up with her? Why did she
That's where I'm getting to.
But again, like, I met her in the Apple Store and it was like a funny situation too, because she didn't like me at first. And then
I believe that
everybody does. Everybody hates you first. Yeah. Give me a second chance. Yeah. Let me beg for your friendship.
Sure.
And then, anyway, no, she came back like another time after I had like turned her away. She had a check that she was paying with that was didn't have a bank on it. And we don't take these starter checks. And so she came back and, you know, I just remember seeing her and she was that when I saw her for the first time too, she like had this really cool dress and like rings and like accessories,
kind of like a not punk, but kind of like a edgy, very.
I don't know. So she's, you know, for the people that can't, you know, they're imagining what she looks like right now. She's, you know, Japanese Brazilian. She did
terrible combo, by the way. Oh, it's just so bad. You know what you want? You want like Russian, Polish, and Irish. Oh, that's so good. Like, you want to be that?
Is that what you are?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what you want. You want something like this? No, but
So she's a great mix, and like, you know, I mean, and she's had this life where she's grown up in Japan, and she did modeling, and
she was, like
she was in a band. She was a celebrity there, and
you're a nothing here.
I'm a nothing. I was a nothing manager at the Apple Store with a dream.
Yeah.
The dream of being that guy.
Yeah.
And we hit it off. And again, you know, she is very cool. And she has this like, just a sense about everything, you know, like business sense. And so, she really keeps me in line. I'm lucky to have her.
Yeah.
I have to say that.
Yeah. You have to say that. You have to say it six times per episode.
She's really the best. But that's funny. Like, you think, because I do, like, her Instagram. She can just take a quick Instagram photo, and she looks amazing.
Like, I think she took one. You know, you would take the one from under, and they're usually terrible. Like,
yeah.
I think I saw her take one. I was like, how does that look good? Yeah, that's supposed to look bad.
It never looks good to me. Like, there's time, you know, full disclosure, I've used some apps to, like, make my face look a little, like, clearer, or like, you know, like less like take the age down a little bit.
Yeah.
She's like, she never has to do that. No. She probably never have to do that. Which funny story, I don't know if you read this today, but there's a guy 60 eight or something.
Yeah,
and he believes he's living in a 45-year-old body.
Yeah.
And he's
suing.
He's like trying to, like, get the court to change his age to 45. Dude, this guy's a genius.
But also, I think a lot of it's because he wants to, when he goes on Tinder.
Oh, right. That's what it was, right?
And I was like, listen, you could think that, but you are lying to people. Because here's the thing. You might have the body of a 45. Right. Just pretend you have a body. You might have a body of a 9-year-old.
Right.
You still have the brain of a 70-year-old.
And maybe somebody
might not want to date somebody who's 70.
I mean, his point, and to his point, he's like, you know, you have trans community. You have people that are other things, you know, that they want
reassign your
And he's like, well, why can't I, you know? It's just a weird thing with age, but it's funny because, like you said, he really just wants to do this to, like, have better luck on Tinder.
I'm sure. Yeah, that. So that's, like, kind of like, I don't think you really care. It's like you're trying to really make a point. You're just like, I want to broaden my range of women that I can. So if he wants to say he's 45, what age do you think he wants to date?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's women or whoever he wants to date that are into older men. Like, why don't you just be that older man that is... But he probably wants to date, like, 25-year-old?
If he wants to date a 25-year-old at 45, it's a lot, but whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Listen, who am I to judge? But when you're, you know, 70... and you're trying to date a 25-year-old, which I'm not also judging either, but at least just say that's what you are.
Yeah, just be that person.
And let that person, because I'd rather be like, if that dude's like, hey, I'm only 45, I'm like, dude, you look terrible. You look 70. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather be like, hey, it's like, how old are you? And he's like, oh, I'm 70. And he's like, wow, you look like
you
44.
Look great.
Yeah.
You look great. Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Well, should I just go run around and tell people I'm 11?
I know.
Hey, I'm 11 years old.
If I was my real age, 15.
Yeah.
Probably.
You look horrible.
Yeah. But it is kind of funny because, like, that probably would have been a sketch we would have done years ago.
Yeah.
You know, here we are, these, like, old guys that want to be, you know, 20 somethings, to get a great job. That's why.
Right. That's the only reason.
Only reason.
But probably the women that were in the HR department would be wearing bikinis for no reason. Absolutely.
It was bikini day.
So you worked a lot of freelance, but, like, you worked for a very big, when you think about YouTube, especially, like, longevity and, a big property that kind of really broke through, like Smosh would be one of those main things, like one of the main things that really, I think, made. I'm not super familiar with Smosh as much as a lot of other. I mean, I am in a kind of general internet sense, but I can acknowledge the fact that they are a. I mean, people are on the backs of other people, like Smosh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they kind of really. Part of what made YouTube what it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny because, like, when I was, you know, really trying, you know, coming out of film school and trying to do things in a, you know, serious approach of, like, I'm going to make a film.
Or Sundance.
Go to Sundance. And, you know, here's these two guys, like, messing around on their, you know, webcam, making videos. And then, you know, I'd come to work for them, you know, years later and, you know, it was great. You know, it was cool. It's cool to see what they did and, you know, riding that kind of success and building their
brand. Because YouTube is always changing. So they have to somewhat stay the same and also change.
Yeah. Right? And, you know, and I think they're doing a hard thing. They're in a hard area of, like, sketch comedy, you know, which is, like.
Doesn't do that great anymore.
No, and there's not very many channels or places that are doing that. And they've to be successful for as long as they were. You know, I think is great, you know, so,
And they kind of made it, they kind of turned into, like, a a brand more than... Because they took themselves out of most of those videos right after a while.
I mean, the guys were in it. I think they brought on a new cast. Yeah. And the whole idea was to like make that an SNL.
Because it was never a cast. It was just that, them two.
Yeah, it was the two of them. And then they brought in like a cast right around the time I started working there. They brought in a cast. And, yeah. And you know, and so like he's building that brand. I mean, unfortunately, now if you're listening to this podcast, Defy Media is closed.
Yeah.
And you know, Smosh.
Which I worked for. I was doing, you know, some. I love analytics. I really do. Like people, like how do you? I was like, I
mean,
love,
just saying that word, analytics.
Oh, it's just so. I love the back end, man. I like absolutely. Whoa. But I did a lot of, you know, some programming. I was a manager. It was the first and only time I was technically a manager. Yeah. I had like a manager
for Screen Junkies.
For Screen Junkies
under Defy Media, right?
It was Screen Junkies Pro Plus.
Oh, right.
What was
it?
Screen Junkies News?
Plus?
News.
Screen Junkies News.
But then I would do, it was Screen Junkies. I don't really talk about this that much because at the time it was, I was going through a tough thing. Like I wasn't doing the podcast. I stopped doing the podcast like throughout that whole time I was there, even a little bit before, and I wasn't doing any more improv. And then I was just doing this, which was totally fine. But then I was like, what am I doing with my life? And, you know, it's a thing where it's like when you're used to working, it's like freelancer. And then you're like, and I didn't want to be a part of it. It wasn't my thing. Yeah. Like, it's not like they were doing like something I was really personally interested in, but it's like, it's kind of hard when you're watching people make their own stuff and being creative and you're not being creative, which is not anyone's
right.
fault.
You're doing like a desk job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which the job, it's
clerical, you know, job.
The thing is like, sometimes I read with a lot of jobs, it's always less about the actual job and more about the people that you have to work with.
Yeah.
Which is not, wasn't all bad, and it's not really what I'm trying to get out of that. So how did you see them? Because they're getting older, mm-hmm. right? We're not.
Yeah.
We're not.
Benjamin Button, right?
Yeah. They're getting older, and the audiences are, you know, either aging up, be like, I'm not a kid, because you know there's a lot of children on YouTube, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of audience is going to be children by nature. Right. How did you guys like keep up with new people, like new people watching or the people growing older?
I think there was the bright idea of bringing in the younger cast, you know, because they were like 10 years younger than Ian and Anthony at the time, and you know, bringing.
I guess
them
it's still
in,
that right because they just don't.
Yeah, the age. Yeah,
there's still 10 years difference. Yeah. No matter what happens.
Right? Yeah, but they're, you know, bringing in a younger cat, and I think like eventually, if they were going to continue this going on, there probably would have been an even younger cast kind of coming in to like appeal to a younger audience. I mean, I don't know, but you know, I think it's just like a matter of like keeping things kind of
and then
keeping
up with the trends on YouTube. Yeah. So you're trying to combine both those things. How would you say you know, because I think always people think about like how, like week for week, how do you keep coming up with new stuff?
Yeah.
Like, is it, what do you think that is? Is it just kind of keeping up with things, or is it also just kind of like, hey, we think this is funny and interesting, let's just do this?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of that, you know, because you really want to be able to, you know, whatever you're creating, like try something new and not be, because if you do the same thing over and over again, too much, it's just going to become stagnant and people are going to be, you know, tired of it. But then you also run the risk that if you do too many, you know, weird experimental things,
they don't know what to latch on to.
Yeah, they don't know what to latch on to. But finding, you know, you can't find something new without experimenting, you know, so then you find that and then you kind of build on that. And, you know, one thing we had as success with on that channel that continued on after I left was this try not to laugh challenge. And for some reason that became a big thing. And, you know, I think it was just the fun of seeing, people, you know, the whole game was like you hold water in your mouth and then the other people kind of try to make you laugh. I mean, it's something you've done like at a birthday party, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a silly game, but seeing people that you like enjoy watching, playing that and trying to get each other to like spit up was a funny thing. And that just continue to do well. I don't know if that will ever get old for me. Like, that's always funny seeing people, you know, try to spit up water and not laugh at somebody else. So, but yeah, that became something like they found success in. And, but yeah, for me, I'm always like wanting to try different things. You know, you see success, like people are playing board games, you know, there's success in, you know, just sitting down and people playing games.
People like to watch people.
I think that's what it is. It's just like people, like, you know, you enjoy, like, how are they, what would it be like if they were doing this thing?
It's a little voyeuristic. I mean, it's in a lot of the internet is. Yeah. You know, a lot of things are. It's like, you know, watching a reality show.
Yeah.
Now, you know, YouTube was something that, what was called YouTube. So it was just like, hey, listen, this is your thing. You just upload it and it's all you. But then it became like a real big business, right?
Yeah, right.
Big, big business.
Corporate too.
Corporate business. So how do you take that thing, or how did you then take that thing? I mean, we dealt with that. We always had people like, sometimes we do stuff and they'd be like, what are you talking about? No, this is funny. We're not here to tear. You know, I always butted head. I butted because I'm not looking. I'm not looking for you to tell me what's funny. I'm here to tell you what's funny.
Yeah,
I'm only just looking for you to be like, hey, do we got to mention this product or whatever it is? I was like, I'm not looking for advice. So I had like a chip on my shoulder sometimes, despite. But how did you also? So you're, you know, let's say you got like, hey, we just want to do this, like creatives. Then you're like, let's follow the trends, and then you have corporate overlords or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have people when it's in that kind of a corporate, you know, situation. You have people that are, they want you to do things that, you know, they think are the trending things, or
even though they have zero experience. Well, yeah, not all of them. Some do.
And you know, it's like the analytic things. They're like, well, the numbers show you that this is going to be a success, but then it doesn't always work for that brand. You know, they're like, oh, it's a successful thing out in the world. Like doing DIY videos is huge. But then it's like, if you have a brand that's like, that's the last thing you want to see them doing, or like, it's just, you know, there's no way to put your own spin on it, then it's not going to work. You know, I mean, if you find a way of putting a spin on like a comedic version of a DIY thing for a comedy channel, then, you know, then it could be a success. But, you know, if you take people too far out of like what they're coming there to see, then it can
you might be alienating.
Yeah, it might be alienating. But, you know, I mean, again, it's always like you're surprised like what actually does do well and what latches on. And, you know, it's a factor of all kinds of things. The thumbnail, what's clickbait in the title, or, you know, is it actually a good idea that people are sharing, you know? And so I don't think anybody actually knows. You know,
yeah. If you knew, you'd always do it and you'd be rich all the time.
You know, you have like the Logan Pauls of the world and things. And I don't know. I mean, it's like, are all their ideas great? I don't know. Is it more of because people are falling for the status quo? You know,
cult of personality.
Yeah, cult of personality. You know, every day, bro.
Yeah,
that's the other one. But you know, I think it's always just like experimenting and seeing what people might be into and latch onto.
And sometimes they're just not into what you're doing.
No,
which we found that out a couple times.
Yeah. Like, well, why aren't they watching this? This is genius.
Yeah,
like, we just needed more pizza.
It's like, hey, why isn't this kind of like, 4 minutes sketch video, well produced, you know, well written sketch video doing well, and somebody just wants to see like a, you know, trying to laugh challenge, which takes nothing.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like you gotta follow that thing.
Yeah. And you can't beat yourself up. I mean, but be true to yourself, you know.
Like, but also beat yourself up.
Beat yourself up. If that, hey, maybe that'd be a great video.
Yeah, yeah.
Beat yourself up challenge.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be easy. Try not to get depressed challenge. Come on, how easy would that be? Right.
I think it doesn't take much for me. Yeah. I mean, I mean, people are you know, leaving. Like, younger audiences are probably like, they're growing up and they're not watching certain things anymore. You know, we got to give them as they're growing older. You know, facing the real world, getting jobs, depression, you know, depression challenge might be a thing for them.
Yeah. Just to let them know. It's like, statistically, this is one of you guys are going to watch this video. I don't know how to tell you this.
Yeah. Let's be sad together.
Well, no, that's it. Now we have another video to make.
There we go. We got a lot of like, this is a brainstorm session.
Yeah.
We spitballed. We got some great ideas.
And everyone listening, you are like, privy to hearing about it first.
Yeah, first
they probably
time.
Already shut this off. You think
they might have shut this off
as soon as you start talking? As soon as you start talking about family, and they don't want to hear the rock and roll stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's for the next podcast.
the next podcast in the world,
yeah.
Oh, okay,
some dark stuff.